Today's text is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verses 12 through 26. Today is the final day of Jesus' public life. As mentioned in verse 2 of today's text, it is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is the day when the Passover lamb is slaughtered. It is on this very day that Jesus was arrested, crucified, and bled to death. Mark clearly indicates that this day is both the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover day, which establishes a significant relationship between the Passover and Jesus' death on the cross. Let us review the Passover day's importance to better understand this relationship. When the Israelites were enslaved by Egypt, God chose Moses to save them. However, the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, hardened his heart and refused to let the Israelites go. In response, God sent 10 plagues upon Egypt. The 10th and final plague struck the firstborn sons of all people in Egypt, including the Israelites. However, God provided a way for the Israelites to be saved from this plague. They were commanded to slaughter a lamb in place of their firstborn sons and spread its blood on the doorposts of each house in Israel. The meat of the lamb was to be eaten in each house, along with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. This way, the Israelites were saved from the plague and were able to leave Egypt and begin their journey towards the Promised Land. The Passover lamb was the means by which God saved the Israelites from slavery in Egypt and led them to the Promised Land. The lamb was slaughtered and its blood was spread over the walls of the house on the day of Passover. God entered the house and protected it from judgment, allowing the Israelites to eat the Passover meal in his presence. This Passover became the first feast of Israel, and the week following it was spent as the Feast of Unleavened Bread. However, the blood of the Passover lamb could not save the Israelites from judgment. It merely foreshadowed Jesus' death on the cross, which is the true ransom sacrifice that saves us from sin and death. Therefore, we can confidently say that the Passover in the Old Testament points to Jesus' sacrifice as the only means of salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Apostle Paul refers to Jesus as our Passover lamb, and explains that Jesus' death on the cross was a sacrifice made on our behalf. This means that the Passover and Exodus, as described in the Old Testament, are fulfilled by Jesus' death as the last Passover lamb on the cross. Therefore, there is no need to celebrate the Passover anymore. In the same way that Moses saved the Israelites from slavery in Egypt and led them to the Promised Land of Canaan, Jesus saves us from sin, death, and slavery to Satan, leading us to eternal heaven. All this salvation comes through the sacrifice made by Jesus, our eternal Passover lamb. It is achieved through his death and blood being applied to us, and through eating and drinking, representing our union with Jesus. Because of this, we can confidently say that there is no longer any need for the Passover to be celebrated or for the Passover lamb to be sacrificed again. It is important to remember that during the Exodus, the Israelites could not escape the 10th plague that struck Egypt. This signifies that they too were sinners who deserved punishment. However, God prepared a Passover lamb for his people and sacrificed it to save them. Similarly, we are also sinners who deserve judgment. But God sent his Son as our eternal Passover lamb to grant us eternal salvation. This act of grace and love is something we know very well, but it is worth reflecting on to understand today's message. Our salvation comes solely through God's grace and the sacrifice of His Son on our behalf. We are saved by the love of God, who did not spare His only Son, and the love of Jesus, who did not spare Himself. Through this love, we are called to join Him in heaven, where we will eat and drink at the table of Jesus forever and live in perfect fellowship of love. Without a doubt, Jesus fulfilled the Exodus event of the Old Testament by shedding His blood on the cross as the last Passover lamb. His death was a sacrifice for our sins, and He paid the price on our behalf. This is known as penal substitutionary atonement, which means that Jesus bled and died for us so that we wouldn't have to face the punishment we deserve. It is essential to understand that He didn't die unjustly, nor did He do it to set a moral example. Jesus shed His blood and died on the cross to take on our sins and pay the price for them. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 6. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions, He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with His wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. The Bible tells us that Jesus bore our grief, carried our sorrow, was pierced for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastened so that we might have peace with God, and wounded to heal us. God made Jesus bear all our sins and judged Him on our behalf to save us. This was made clear in the Old Testament, as Jesus' death was a penal substitutionary death. We are all saved according to the grace of Jesus. The New Testament further confirms this truth. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For our sake He made Him be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. Please don't forget these words. Listen to them repeatedly. Contemplate them and engrave them deep in your heart. Believing in the cross of Jesus means recognizing that I am a sinner who deserves death. Without repentance and acknowledging our sins, there is no need for a cross and no reason for Jesus to die in my place. Repentance and faith come together and are the grace of the Holy Spirit, which we can only receive through the gospel of the cross. Only those who are born again by the Holy Spirit will repent of their sins, believe in Jesus as their Savior, and receive the grace of salvation. In today's text, the blessed reality of salvation and the immense love of Jesus is revealed during the last Passover meal that He shared with His disciples. During this meal, Jesus reveals the blessed reality of heavenly salvation that will soon be achieved through His blood and impending death. Let us look at the verses 13 through 16. Mark chapter 14, verses 13 through 16. And He sent two of His disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples. And he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. There prepare for us. And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. Jesus first sends two disciples to prepare the Passover meal. In the Gospel of Luke, these two disciples are shown to be Peter and John. Luke chapter 22, verses 7 and 8. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it." In this passage, Jesus instructs two of his disciples to enter the city and look for a man carrying a jar of water. This is unusual because at the time, women typically carried water jars while men carried leather bottles. So it wasn't difficult for the disciples to find the man carrying the water jar. Jesus tells them to follow the man and ask the owner of the house he enters for the guest room there, guest room where Jesus can eat the Passover meal with his disciples. It's important to note that in verse 14, Jesus instructs his disciples to say to the master of the house, "Where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" This suggests that Jesus himself is preparing the Passover dinner table for his disciples, taking on the role of the host. In the context of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we see that he fulfills God's will and provides a heavenly fellowship for us. This was preordained by God before the ages. As we read in the Bible, when the disciples follow Jesus' instructions, the owner of a house provided them with a large guest room where they prepare the Passover meal. This leads us to the Passover meal that Jesus offers, which we can find in verse 17. Mark chapter 14, verses 17 through 21. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and say to him, one after another, "Is it I?" He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." In this text, Jesus is preparing the Last Supper. He's preparing the last Passover meal for his beloved disciples. He has a final loving fellowship with them before his death. Although Jesus loved and wanted to have fellowship with his disciples until he died, they betrayed him, sold him, abandoned him, and ran away. Verse 18 says, "He who eats with me will betray me," which is a quote from Psalm 41. This quote means that the words of the psalm have been fulfilled, and the person closest to eating at the same table with Jesus will betray him. Psalm chapter 41, verse 9. "Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me." When Jesus told his disciples that one who eats with him would betray him, they became anxious and questioned him one by one, asking, "Is it I?" Their lack of confidence in themselves caused them to worry and be saddened at the thought that they might be the betrayer. This is a relatable feeling to many of us. However, when a person of faith becomes weak, God can restore it. Even if someone stumbles for a moment, they do not lose their salvation. He who is sorrowful because of his weakness is saved. Unfortunately, some people are not even worried or sad because they are non-believers from the beginning, just like one of the disciples who betrayed Jesus. Jesus warns that it would be better for the betrayer to have never been born. If Jesus had not given us the grace of salvation, we too would be better off not having been born, as our sins would lead us to eternal damnation in hell. However, Jesus showed his love for his inadequate and pathetic disciples by preparing the last Passover meal for them and spending time in fellowship with them. He sacrificed himself on the cross for these sinners, shedding his blood and giving up his body to achieve salvation. His grace is what sustains us from the beginning to end, and it's only through Jesus that we can find hope. We must acknowledge our sinfulness, confess our weaknesses, and place our trust entirely in Jesus, living humbly and relying on His grace. In verse 20, Jesus predicted that one of the 12 disciples would betray Him, and we know that person was Judas Iscariot. Judas betrayed Jesus by selling Him for 30 pieces of silver, leading to His arrest and crucifixion. In verse 21, Jesus said, "All of this fulfilled what was written about Him in the Bible," showing that God's eternal decree would be fulfilled as prophesied. It cannot be said that Judas Iscariot was without sin just because God's will was being fulfilled. Judas Iscariot sinned willingly and is responsible for his actions. Nevertheless, even Judas Iscariot's sins were part of God's sovereign plan to fulfill His will, and Judas Iscariot will be judged according to his sins. We need to be reminded of this fact. The Bible teaches us about both God's sovereignty and human responsibility. We may not know everything, but we are responsible for our sins, and God is in control even of our sins and accomplishes His will through them. Jesus warns Judas Iscariot of the consequences of his betrayal, but he does not do so for Peter, who denies him. Peter is one of God's chosen people, and because Jesus will bear his sins and pay the price for them on the cross, Jesus forgives Peter's sins and protects him from destruction and restores his faith. Mark chapter 14, verses 22 through 24. And as they were eating, He took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." And He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." Next Lord's Day, we will revisit this passage to explore its relationship with Lord's Supper. During the final Passover meal, Jesus offered His disciples bread and wine, symbolizing His body and blood. As a result, the Lord's Supper is a sacrament that serves as a testimony to Jesus' death on the cross, wherein He gave His body and blood. Furthermore, this sacrament allows the church to commemorate Jesus' death for our sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.'" At the last Passover supper, Jesus gives bread and wine, referring to them as His body and blood. He says to do this in memory of Him, and every time we consume the bread and wine, we proclaim the death of Jesus, which was for our redemption. In other words, Jesus' Last Supper in today's text and the sacrament established from this are both connected to Jesus' death to atone for our sins. However, the Lord's Supper holds another important meaning beyond just commemorating Jesus' death. The Apostle Paul also emphasizes this point. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 16 and 17. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. When the disciples ate and drank the bread and wine offered by Jesus during the Last Supper, they were partaking in the body and blood of Jesus. This tradition continues today during the Lord's Supper, where we also eat and drink the bread and wine offered by Jesus. By doing so, we too are participating in the body and blood of Jesus, which He gave up on the cross for our salvation. This act of communion unites us as one body, just as we all partake in the same bread. The Greek word for participation used here is koinonia, which means fellowship or communion. Its original meaning is sharing things in common with one another. This means that we are given Jesus' body, blood, and obedience unto death, and we share them with Him at His table. It also means that Jesus and we have become one. God has allowed us to be accepted just like Jesus. Everything Jesus accomplished is regarded as our own accomplishment. This means that by allowing me and the church, the body of Christ, to participate together, we share fellowship as one body united in Jesus. Those who are saved through the blood of Jesus were joined into the eternal heavenly family. And through this fellowship, God allows us to enjoy the reality of heaven. Every time we partake in the Lord's Supper, we participate in Jesus' body and blood. Through this participation, we are reminded of Jesus' obedience to death, and we get to enjoy all the blessings of heavenly salvation that were achieved through His death. Through this act, we are able to discover our life in Jesus and testify that Jesus has made everything that He achieved as ours. In other words, we died with Jesus, received forgiveness for all our sins through His death, and were justified through His perfect obedience unto death. Therefore, participating in Jesus' table means enjoying all the salvation that Jesus has achieved. Finally, Jesus says in verse 25, "Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." In Luke chapter 22, He says this in more detail. Luke chapter 22, verses 15 through 18, verses 29 and 30. And He said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." During the Last Supper, Jesus joined His disciples and spoke about the meal they would share with Him in heaven. This reminds us that the Lord's Supper points to the reality of heavenly fellowship that we will enjoy with Jesus while sitting on the throne in heaven, eating and drinking together. Every time we participate in the Lord's Supper, we remember not only Jesus' death, but also the fellowship of love and unity that we will soon experience in heaven. We live in hope for that day. In verse 25, Jesus says that He will not drink from the fruit of the vine again until He drinks it new in the kingdom of God. This shows Jesus' earnest desire to live with us in perfect, loving fellowship in heaven for eternity. It was this desire that led him to come to earth and go all the way to the cross. In addition, Jesus made an oath to protect and guide us until that day so that we can enjoy the blessed reality of eating and drinking with him in heaven. He will fulfill what he promised. We should hold fast to the oath of Jesus and keep our desire for perfect fellowship of love. We participate in the Lord's Supper with this longing, knowing that Jesus died for us as a ransom. He prays without ceasing to bring us all to heaven, protecting and guiding us through the Holy Spirit, even in the face of trials. Regardless of what we face, He is always with us, leading us safely to the house of Jesus and God the Father. There, He will wipe away our tears, and we will live in eternal joy, free from sin, curses, death, mourning, and pain. Please keep this blessed reality in mind when participating in the Lord's Supper and find overflowing joy and hope.